is Open Mic Friday on this April the 17th in the year of our Lord, 2015. I'm Pastor Tom Baker here on Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. And being an Open Mic Friday, it means you can phone me with any question on your mind of a theological nature. The numbers to phone in the St. Louis area, and we encourage you to phone early, 821-0850. St. Louis, 821-0850. Toll free anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. Couple of housekeeping duties, first of all. A number of you have been asking about the Angel of Angels, if that's available. It is now available on our website, lawandgospel101.com. You go to lawandgospel101.com, and then you'll see at the top, products. And when you hit products, there's a number of products there, and you can click on Angel of Angels, and you can buy one copy. But if you buy up to five copies, it's much reduced in price. Anybody, by the way, who wants to buy more than five copies, use the long distance number to give me a ring. That's found under Contact Me, and we have a special deal on that. Well, why do we reduce the price if you buy more than one? Well, because the postage is not as much as you get more books being sent. It's not the same as just one book. Also, you can go to lawandgospel101.com and sign up for our seminar, going to be held at Emmanuel Lutheran Church next Saturday, and it is from 1 to 4:30 in the afternoon. It's $10, and you can sign up ahead of time just by going to seminar after you hit lawandgospel101.com. And if you sign up on the internet, you get half off any book for sale. You can also go to lawandgospel101.com, and at the bottom of the first page, you can donate to Law and Gospel. We do pay KFUO to be on the air now, and so we certainly appreciate any gifts that are given specifically to Law and Gospel. So if you use a credit card, you can go to lawandgospel101.com, go to the bottom of the page. And if you're sending a check, it needs to be made out to Law and Gospel. Finally, I am preaching this weekend at Emmanuel Lutheran, 9733 Olive in Olivet, Missouri. I'm preaching Saturday at 5 o'clock and then Sunday at 8 and 10:30. 5 o'clock Saturday, Sunday 8 and 10:30. Yesterday with Wes Reimnitz, we told you we were not taking calls because we were dealing with a subject that we wanted the whole time where we could talk, and it was to an article in the Post-Dispatch, in order to push to fix gay minors is wrong. And we were talking about a couple, Chambers with his wife Leslie. He used to be having an Exodus International group, which helped gay people become normal. Now, he says that's almost impossible to do, and he's now apologizing for trying to change gay people into normalcy. Now, we went through a number of theological reasons why that, what he was saying, I can understand why he failed. He failed because he says, for example, I'm sorry we preached an incomplete gospel and wrongly told these people that they could and should do more to be acceptable to God. Well, if you have an organization where you're trying to get people to become acceptable to God, I don't care what it is, it's going to fail. It's going to fail, maybe not from a human point of view, because the Mormons are growing, Jehovah's Witnesses are growing, the Muslims are growing, and they all have a means whereby you can become acceptable to God. The God they have, though, unfortunately, is the devil. The true God, you don't need to become acceptable to him. You are acceptable to him because of the work of Jesus Christ. I don't understand why even Christians get confused on this one. Jesus is called a savior. Now, what does that mean? That means he saves you. He makes you acceptable to God. How is that possible? Well, it's possible in a very simple way. Let's use an analogy. Let's say somebody needs a kidney transplant. Okay? And they have a relative who does that for them. Well, guess what? That relative has saved them. They didn't become acceptable to the relative. No. The relative was because you had the same blood type, et cetera, whatever one needs for a kidney transplant. And he therefore was able to save his friend. Jesus saved you. He didn't do a kidney transplant. He did a death transplant. He died in your place as your substitute. And that occurred on Good Friday at the cross. The message of the Christian church is that God has now been reconciled to everyone. All people are acceptable to God because their sins have been forgiven. Now, even though God has been reconciled to them, they may not want to be reconciled back to God. And see, that's what the church is all about, is to use the means of grace in order to share the good news with those who remain in the darkness of unbelief. Now, one of the articles I picked up in regard to whether or not gays can be converted, so to speak, through therapy, indicated that there was really a shift among Christians when the president, for example, announced his support for a national ban on such therapies. They say few voices on the Christian right spoke up in protest. Well, who cares if it's few or if it's many? The Bible is pretty clear. Homosexuality is an abomination before Almighty God. So is gossip. So is murder. So is going over the speed limit. The church's task is not to convert sinners to people who no longer sin. The church's task is to tell them about what Jesus has done in forgiving their sins and making them right with God, and then we leave it up to the Holy Spirit as to what is happening with these people. But it's a task for every sinner, regardless of one's situation. Our phone numbers here are 821-0850. That's in the St. Louis area. 1-800-730-2727. That's anywhere in North America. Let's go talk with Mike. Hi, Mike. You're on the air.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Listen, I want your opinion on this. You know, it regards Exodus. And my understanding was the major failure of it was that gay men and lesbian women were getting together and they were having children. But then after they had the children, they would revert back to their homosexual, lifestyle. Or their practices is what I'm trying to say. So I'm saying that Exodus was a big failure because it was causing these kind of people to get together and have children, and that's where they got rid of it.
Oh, well, that's not what they say in the article, Mike. Uh-huh. That could have been a problem, that gay people got together and had children. But what would be wrong with a man and a woman having a child if they got married? In fact, Alan and Leslie Chambers married in January 1998, even though Alan had this desire towards homosexuality. And he says very clearly that he's happy with his life. And for more than 17 years, he has been faithful to his wife. I am more in love with her today than ever before and enjoy every part of our amazing marriage. So here's an example of someone who actually, in a sense, moved from a gay lifestyle to a heterosexual lifestyle.
Well, I can answer that.
Go ahead.
The answer is he never really was a homosexual in the first place. He probably was somebody more like a borderline, but a real one, they always go back to their perversion in the end.
Well, the fact is, he does say that he...
Well, right, I'm sure in his case, but I don't think he was one in the first place.
I'm not going to call him a liar. He says, I was devoutly Christian and intrinsically gay, and the two I was told could never mix. So he was gay.
Well, maybe he thought he was, but...
Well, if he's doing the actions, Mike, he's gay.
Well, you know, you're right about that. I'm not going to argue that point, but I do think there's different degrees of how...
Oh, yes. That's a very good point. And I sure appreciate your call. Thanks so much. Anybody else can call at 821-0850. That's in St. Louis. Toll free, 1-800-730-2727. Anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. Yes, Mike makes a good point. We're all sinners. We all have some proclivity towards a specific kind of sin, but it can be in degrees. Like, for instance, some people might like stealing. You know, they'll take things from other people, but they never go to the level where they'll take a gun into a bank and steal from a bank. So they still are breaking the seventh commandment, thou shalt not steal, but they're not doing it in ways that they become criminals. And that's because the law makes them fear the consequences of actually robbing a bank. But a lot of times they'll just pick things up. I enjoy watching this one program where these people who have restaurants or hotels, they're losing money and they can't figure out why. So they bring in these kind of detectives who put up all kinds of cameras everywhere. And lo and behold, they find waitresses pocketing money. They'll find people in charge of the hotel having parties and drinking all their wine at no cost at night when the people are gone. So these folks are just astonished when they are caught. Then they're fired. and they really need to be fired. The point is, God has a camera on you at all times. But it's worse than a camera. He also can read your heart. So the law is such that none of us are worthy to be called a child of God. Even a pastor with 30 years experience preaching almost every Sunday. No, he is no better in God's eyes in regard to his sin than is an unbeliever. Now, the difference is, of course, believers confess their sin. They repent of their sin. So this one article that I picked up, and it was talking about, it was by Jonathan Merritt. It talks about that Christians are turning against gay conversion therapy. And the evidence they use for that is that Christians didn't speak up when the president of the United States says that it's wrong to try and fix gay minors. This is unbelievable, particularly in light of the fact that these folks say, particularly, that sexual orientation cannot be changed. Well, if that's true, I'd hate to be a pedophile, because that means it can't be changed. And they make the point that that must be okay. Why? They say if someone has a religious or moral objection to a particular sexual expression, let's say pedophilia, then who are we to tell that person that he or she must embrace a specific act or identity? And then he says, sexual orientation cannot be changed. Well, you ask any pastor who's been involved in this area, it has been changed. 8210850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's go talk to Larry. Hi, Larry, you're on the air.
Happy Friday there, Pastor Baker.
Thank you, Larry.
You know, saying behavior can't be changed, and when we use the word behavior, we're specifically using the little three-letter word called sin. It's like saying that the Holy Spirit cannot do what he's been appointed to do, change someone from behavior that's unbecoming to a Christian who realizes they're still going to sin, but their sins have been covered over with Jesus' blood. You know, in the end, they say, and I don't know this to be true or not, that Jeffrey Dahmer may have become a Christian.
I believe he did.
He was not only doing these acts, he was eating the people. And also, I think Ted Bundy's last request was to speak specifically to James Dobson. So he may have very well become a Christian. You know, the thief on the cross became a Christian in the waning moments of his life, didn't he?
Yes, and I'll give you another example of somebody whose behavior changed totally. That was Saul to Paul.
Ah, that's the greatest example of all.
I know. I don't understand why these people say...
That's the greatest example of all.
You really hit it on the head. This is a denial of the work of the Holy Spirit.
Exactly. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you so much. And we're just going to keep on going down the line. Let's go talk to Herman. Herman, you're on the air.
Thank you, Pastor Baker. I've noticed that people can change from homosexual orientation by influence of the gospel and what that's brought to them by the Holy Spirit, and also even outside of that as well. That doesn't mean that a person who changes, who's not a Christian, earns salvation because they cease to be homosexual, but it's quite a diverse observation in the psychological field in this. It's not a fixed entity as the homosexual movement claims. And here in Illinois, they've got a bill pending in the legislature to make any licensed counselor subject to, shall we say, review and discipline by the licensing board they're under if they attempt what's called reparative therapy for underage persons who are showing homosexual tendencies. And it's curious that even the Center for Disease Control marks the bundle of behaviors that identify homosexuality as clear and dangerous medical risks. And you have a tenant bill here that would inhibit the concern of parents, counselors, to try to get a young person straightened out and to attempt to insert sort of a political correctness and legalize it within this type of field, which I would say is totally wrong on the basis of the Constitution.
I sure appreciate those comments. Thank you so much, Herman.
Thank you.
God bless. Anybody else can call at 821-0850, toll free 1-800-730-2727. In fact, in next week's seminar, we're going to have two letters talked about. And this is from two fathers who find out that their son is a homosexual. And we're going to be talking about, both of them are against homosexuality. And so both of them now address their son in a certain way. And it's really a law gospel thing. And we're going to be talking about that at the seminar at Emmanuel Olivet next Saturday at 1 to 4:30 in the afternoon. By the way, I'm preaching at 5 o'clock. And it'll be a long gospel sermon kind of based on what we're talking about here. So, anybody want to call? The number in St. Louis, 821-0850. Toll free, 1-800-730-2727. Oh boy, some months ago I made the comment that I never met a homosexual that isn't also a child abuser. And people are saying, oh, you should never say something like that because that's not true. Well, when I say child abuser, I'm not talking about physical abuse. This, what Herman is talking about, is a perfect example where the government in Illinois is saying that you cannot take a child and use or help them with reparative therapy if they have homosexual tendencies. This is exactly what our Lord says, if anyone offends one of these my little ones, be better that a millstone put around his neck and he be drowned in the sea. The fact of the matter, what I'm trying to say here is that when you take away the truth of God's word for little ones, you are offending them. And I have never met a homosexual who's an active homosexual who says that you should never teach this to children as a viable lifestyle. They all say it is. That is bringing offense to a child. Going back to the phone, let's talk with Steve, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Two things. One is, with any sin, it's difficult to show your love and welcomeness without promoting the sin, and I find that especially difficult in this arena.
Can you give me an example what you mean by that? I'm a little confused, that you can't talk about the sin.
We want to be very welcoming to people who sin in our church because
yes.
we are all sinners. But at the same time, you don't want to make it like it's not a sin. And it's very difficult with some sins more than others because they're visible. They're out there. They're in front of you. They're not just hidden that you do it by yourself.
Yes.
You know, if you show up with your best friend's wife and now she's your girlfriend, that's a visible sin. You want to welcome these sinners, but how do you do that when you know that sin's happening right there in front of you? So it makes that difficult. But
well, just before we leave that, as a pastor, here's what I would say, even in the newsletter, is that in order to become a member of the congregation, you need to repent of your sins to receive the Lord's Supper. But we welcome anyone to come to church, to Bible study, to ask questions, even if they are unrepentant over what we consider to be sins, because God welcomes them in order that they might hear the word of God. And if by the Holy Spirit they are brought to faith, that's wonderful. So I make a distinction between welcoming them to the Lord's table, where repentance is necessary, in contrast to welcoming them to worship services, Bible studies, and such.
So, and then the other day you mentioned there was no perfect repentance. So what you're saying now, just to clarify, is repentance is necessary. It's just not going to be perfect. Either way, it's just necessary that you want to repent, I guess.
Well, the new man does do perfect repentance. The old man never does. That was the point I was trying to make. So there's always a mixed motivation. But God is reading your heart. And remember, David says, creating me a clean heart. He sees perfect repentance coming from the new man, whereas the old man has an ulterior motive for doing that perfect repentance. And if there is no new man, then it's improper repentance. But that's the point I was trying to make, Steve.
Okay.
Okay.
The point I wanted to bring up was marketing. You talked about marketing.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And I feel like ISIS is really having success marketing itself because people are really searching for meaning in this world where religion and God has really been pulled out of the public eye, so to speak, that all these people searching for meaning are finding it in other places, such as ISIS. So some kind of marketing that we could do to replace that would be very beneficial.
I really believe you're correct there. Jesus, in my opinion, was the best person to preach the message of Jesus Christ himself. But remember, even his own disciples fled from him in the Garden of Gethsemane. One of them so betrayed him that he was lost forever. The other ones came back. And so it's impossible to do a marketing where you're going to have 100% success, because the word of God is not a way to manipulate people into the Christian faith, but
right.
we do the best in keeping faithful to it. I think your point is well taken.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
And thank you so very much. Yeah, that was talking about marketing. I was making a distinction that in secular marketing, it's pretty easy what you're doing. You're trying to remove all the objections somebody has to a product. So they say, boy, I'd like to have that product. And they do that by the way they package the product, the way they advertise the product, the way they give benefits to the product. And I'll tell you, in computer workings, we're always trying to find out what are people needing. And so this is what is done in marketing. They look for what people are looking for. And then, for example, a very good advertisement was a lot of people, millions of people, have trouble sleeping at night. And so they advertise this liquid that if you buy it, it'll give you a good night's sleep. You see, that's already looking at a problem that millions of people have. Now, the problem that everybody has is sin. But there's no way to talk about that in such a way that everyone is going to say, ah, That's what I need. You're going to run into too many self-righteous people who say, I don't really need the message of Christianity because I can do on my own pretty good. I'm not that bad a person. And so I don't have to look to Jesus Christ as my Savior. It's not something that is needed because I can follow the commandments, which, by the way, leads us to Monday's topic. On Monday, we always like to do the lessons, one of them for the coming Sunday. We're going to be taking a look at the epistle for the fourth Sunday of Easter, where it says, if you keep the commandments of God, whatever you ask of God, you will receive it. And so I'm kind of falling back a little bit on what we just heard from Steve. Oh, well, guess what? I don't keep the commandments. So will I receive anything from God? It's a message that needs to be understood because it's once more an apparent contradiction in the Bible, but it really isn't. And that's what we're going to be talking about on Monday. And remember, lawandgospel101.com in order for the seminar, Angel of Angels, and donations. And I'm preaching at Emmanuel tomorrow and Sunday. I'm Tom Baker. Till Monday, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.